The open source movement started in the world of software and has evolved into physical objects. From 3D printers to drones, their blueprints are now being shared openly. The movement is growing from a handful of geeks into an important pivotal point where it's impacting the lives of millions. Welcome to the Revolver podcast and welcome to the democratization of technology.
The BioFactory Project is an educational program created by a research institute in Amsterdam called De Waag Society, who develop creative technology for social innovation.
Through this 9-part project, you will learn how to design, grow, and extract biomaterials using only open source hardware that you have built yourself. Whether you're interested in producing a new type of biopharmaceutical or even a biofuel, this project will teach you how you can grow your own biomaterials at home.
Biohacking, which is still in its infancy, emerged from a growing trend of non-institutional science and technology development, and this project provides aspiring DIY hackers with all the tools they need to get started. The project was added to Revolver by community member Gerrit Niesen after he attended the Biohack Academy course and wanted to share what he'd learned with the wider community.
Ellen Jorgensen, biologist and biohacker, said, "Biohackers work alone. We work in groups, in big cities and in small villages. We reverse engineer lab equipment. We genetically engineer bacteria. We hack hardware, software, wetware, and, of course, the code of life. We like to build things. Then we like to take things apart. We make things grow. We make things glow. And we make cells dance."
London Biohack Space are working on an innovative biohacking project called Juicy Print. The team plans to build a 3D printer that uses fruit juice to produce a bacterial cellulose capable of printing into useful shapes as an exceptionally strong and versatile biopolymer. G. hanseni, the bacteria they will be using, can grow in a wide range of substances, including brewing waste and tea. Another incredible feature of bacterial cellulose is that it's biocompatible, meaning it can safely replace part of a living system. In the near future, this technology could be used in tissue engineering to grow replacement organs. For now, the team plan to insert genes into the bacteria that will enable them to switch cellulose production for 3D printing on or off using light.
London Biohack Space is based in London Hack Space, which is Revolver headquarters at the moment, and their community access lab centers around open source principles and allows anyone the freedom to start projects that would otherwise be impossible. Now, a simple project to get started in the world of biohacking is growing bioluminescent bacterium, also known as glowing germs. The bacteria required, Vibrio phosphorium, can be found in fresh squid and can be extracted by boiling the squid in agar solution before being transferred to petri dishes for growth and harvesting.
Biohacker Ryan Bethencourt says, "The personal mission of many biohackers is to tackle human diseases within our lifetime and to dramatically extend lifespans." It's also worth noting that biohacking group Science for the Masses have announced a method to give people temporary night vision by dropping a chemical found in deep sea fish directly into their eyes.
After 6 years of helping disadvantaged communities throughout the world, Matthew Rogge, a 2-time Peace Corps volunteer and former high school chemistry and physics teacher, is now the very hands-on technical director of Tech for Trade, a leading UK charity specifically focused on bridging the divide between innovative new technologies and international trade and economic development.
Matt's work requires him to travel to some incredible places, including Kenya and Tanzania, where he provides 3D printing training and support for local people. But more recently, his focus has been developing printer software to create 3D printers that anyone can build from electronical waste. Matt's project is called ReThread, and his goal is to provide affordable 3D printing equipment for developing economies that can be locally sourced, locally maintained, and locally improved. Matt and the wider Tech for Trade team believe that 3D printing can be as transformative in developing countries as the mobile phone. And by introducing 3D printing at a community level, their aim is to create jobs through local manufacturing. Matt explains that with a 3D printer, people can gain access to a wide variety of educational, medical, and mechanical materials that would have otherwise been inaccessible.
Matt first became involved in 3D printing after working as a volunteer in Panama building rural water systems. Here, he first heard about 3D printing and saw an opportunity to further help the communities he'd been working with. When he returned home, Matt decided to build a 3D printer and study mechanical engineering with an emphasis in mechatronics at the University of Washington. His goal was to help make 3D printing technology available to the places where he'd seen the greatest need.
However, Matt soon discovered a major problem with providing rural communities with conventional 3D printers.
The number of specialized or proprietary parts required to keep these printers functioning was too high. Power supplies, heated print beds, stepper motors, end stops, smooth rods, all needed to be imported, and importing is expensive.
The price of imported parts and printers was often double or even triple the original cost due to shipping costs and custom charges. What's more, Matt also discovered that if important components were not used for the maintenance and repair of the printers, the printers would often require significant design changes to function correctly.
But Matt didn't give up. In Mexico, where he'd been working with the local fab lab on filament production from recycled plastics, he came up with the idea of creating 3D printer design software that could handle all of the design changes and modifications required to make and maintain a functional printer in the developing world using the lowest cost, local source of components possible, e-waste. Matt says he was inspired by a friend of the local people in Mexico who repaired discarded computers and donated the finished results to schools.
What Matt also describes, that the best part of working on the ReThread project has been the opportunity to work with so many amazing people. Matt says, "I love to see people who become involved in a project talk about their goals and how they plan on using 3D printing as an effective way to achieve them."
Cell phones and the internet have done wonders in the developing world in terms of enabling communication and the sharing of ideas and information. Matt says he would like to see digital fabrication techniques such as 3D printing do the same for the sharing of things, and he'll be thrilled to make whatever contribution he can to see that happen.
Through Matt and Tech for Trade, the thousands of tons of e-waste that would otherwise end up in landfills can be transformed into a commercial and design opportunity of thousands, if not millions of people in local communities across developing countries.
You can find out more about Matt, Tech for Trade, and the ReThread project over on Wevolver.